Welcome to GhostBiz. Here on the Business Report, I'm Gary Strubel. Every week I chat to the finance ghost to find out what's going on in the markets, both here in Southern Africa and occasionally beyond as well. Ghost, let's start out with Pepkor. Back to school, just around the corner for many parents. But of course, Pepkor, one of those every day, every week kind of stores and ubiquitous with figuring out if a town is real or not. It's only real if it's got a pep in it. They've released normalized numbers to include a 53rd trading week. Perhaps just tell us why that's important and give us a sense of what's going on there.
Hi, Gary. Hi to all the listeners. Yes, Pepkor is probably not a bad place to start, actually. And the first important point there, as you've raised, is the 53-week trading period. So the way this works for retailers is many of them report based on a number of weeks rather than calendar years. And that means that every few years you get an extra week. Now, if you have a whole extra week of trading, you can't actually compare that to either the previous year. And next year, you can't compare it to, you know, the week in which it had the 53rd year. So it actually breaks 2 years worth of comparisons, looking backwards and then a year from now when you look backwards again. So what Pepkor has to do is say, listen, please look at our adjusted numbers, our normalized numbers. You know, we've taken out the effect of that extra week in the base. So we are comparing this year, which is 52 weeks, to the first 52 weeks of the previous year. I know that sounds complicated, but basically just remember there's an extra week of trading in the previous year. So obviously that's not a fair comparison. They had a whole extra week to get on with things. So on the normalized basis, revenue up 9.2%, operating profit 17.4%. That's really good. Headline earnings per share, not as exciting, up 10.3%, but still decent. I mean, that's double-digit growth, which is well ahead of inflation. That's all the shareholders can really ask for. Gross margin, interesting to note that it actually went up on the clothing and general merch side. So a bit of an improvement there, I think, at Ackermans above all else. And down on the furniture, appliances, and electronics side, but still very decent levels. Nothing really to get too concerned about here at Pepkor. And I think what is encouraging is that in the 7 weeks to the 16th of November, their clothing segment actually saw sales growth of 16%, which is particularly strong.
To take a look at one of those shares that was a darling of many retail investors for quite a while, and then the last 18 to 24 months have been a bit of coming back to earth, and that's the Purple Group. A standout brand was Easy Equities for a long time, with people believing that they would seriously disrupt the more established investment models. And that share price went berserk for a while and then crashed. But there's some numbers that are out for the year ended August. Revenue increased 45%, operating expenses just up 7%. And of course, that always has a good impact on profit. What are your thoughts on the Purple Group?
I mean, Purple Group is such a firm favorite, isn't it? So owners of Easy Equities, and I think that's why the share price has historically been so volatile, is because people using the Easy Equities platform actually, you know, engage with the product. They like the product. It gave them a chance to get into the markets. I mean, let's face it, without Easy Equities, I don't think that I would have a business as the finance ghost. So I'm always very grateful to them for that. But I've always been very realistic about the Purple Group share price. And during the pandemic, it did go absolutely mental. Honestly, people were just pricing in, I don't know what kind of growth, but I think the problem is they weren't really pricing in anything. They were actually just saying, hey, we use the product, we love the product, we'll pay anything for it. So I always tried to be the voice of reason rather at that time in the world and got shut down a lot. But, you know, time has proven that if you're going to pay silly money for stocks, you probably are going to have a bad time. That's kind of how the world works. At least today, Purple Group back into profitability. They've just released revenue up 45.1%. As you said, operating expenses up just 7.6%. So profit went to the moon, up 206%, which is fantastic. Headline earnings per share now positive, not negative. So things are working there, but the share price is, again, really high in comparison to the earnings. Now, if they can keep growing like this, sure, it'll unwind quite quickly, but I feel like we've seen this movie before. You know, the share price of Purple Group does all kinds of crazy things that are not always related to how the underlying business is doing. It's still going to be a long slog ahead for them, as evidenced by just how long it's taking to get Philippines off the ground.
Now, some companies give us a bit of a look through into what's happening in the economy. And one of those sectors is the secondhand car sector. People do have options to not buy a car, perhaps hold on to their car for longer, buy a new car. And of course, it's a very competitive market where people have a lot of choice in terms of what sort of car they do buy. And that, of course, has a big impact on the companies that sell them. So with all that being said, Zeda has put out some numbers. What's going on in Zeda tell us what's going on in the broader economy?
Yeah, so Zeda is a car rental business, but A big part of the economics of a car rental business is what they can sell the cars for at the end of their useful life. So you can imagine if you were running a car rental business, you need to go and buy up a fleet of cars. You're going to rent them out for their useful life with you, and then you're going to sell them. If you can sell them for more, when all is said and done, you're going to make more money. It's as simple as that. If you can sell them for less than you thought, you won't make as much money. Now, what happened in the pandemic is obviously the demand for rental cars just fell through the floor, but they were given this incredible lifeline then by the used car market, where suddenly used car prices were up because of global supply chains, because of low interest rates. And so these rental companies could effectively defleet into an extremely favorable used car market. And that gave them really strong profitability despite what was going on. Maybe not strong profitability, but certainly much better than it would have been. Now, what's happened at Zeta in the last year is that things have normalized. So there's nothing wrong with the business, but headline earnings per share has come down 18.1% despite record revenue on the books and revenue up 14.5%. And that is just a normalization in used car values. When they are selling cars out of the fleet, they're now having to, you know, just get back to their standard economics versus last year where they could get these super profits when they were selling used cars. So what this tells us is, number one, I'm still a happy Zeta shareholder. Nothing I'm too worried about. Number two, used car prices have normalized in a big way in the market.
And then lastly, guys, just take a look at eMedia Holdings. Now, obviously, as a media company here in Namibia, we're very interested in what happens in other media companies in the markets around us, and South Africa being the closest. We watch MultiChoice with great interest. We watch the travails at the SABC with some degree of concerns. That broadcast has always have a way of surviving the almost impossible. But eMedia is that interest most interesting of media companies in that it competes in the big stage, i.e. television. It doesn't have the global reach that MultiChoice has, and it certainly doesn't have the generous funders that the SABC do. So they are what we would call a pure media play in terms of localized markets. eMedia have put out a set of interim results for 6 months to September, and they've got a pretty good story to tell. What do you think is happening at eMedia?
Yes, as a media guy myself, I also look at these things with as much interest as you do. Certainly, MultiChoice's disaster, I think, just a function of, honestly, just some bad management decisions and desperately trying to build a business for sale rather than for sustainable profits. If the Canal Plus deal goes ahead, they'll look like heroes. And if it doesn't, I think there will be an absolute bloodbath in that business. Over at eMedia, on the other hand, they're not building it for sale. They're building it to make money. And well done to them. You know, look, to be fair, eMedia has been spending years now competing with the SABC, which is hardly a fair fight. This is the classic private sector versus public sector story. But still, kudos to them. They've done well. Advertising revenue for the 6 months to September, 7.1% higher. Operating profit up 16.2%. So that's really good. HEPS up 14.9%. Very nice. Dividend, for some reason, down 22.2%. So payout ratios changed dramatically, which is not ideal. But the improvement here, I think, in advertising is very much due to the disappearance of load shedding because people can turn their TVs on. It sounds really silly, but, you know, if your TV's on, you can watch the TV, you can engage with the adverts, and you can actually, you know, be a useful person on the other side of the screen to an advertiser and therefore to eMedia. A part of their business that has not recovered yet is Media Film Service. That's still dealing with, you know, the hangover from the writers and actors strike in Hollywood. So there's still some room for upside there at eMedia. But kudos to them. They are getting on with it. They're building a sensible business. And if the load shedding stays away and the TV stay on at night, then there's demand from advertisers, which is obviously exactly the way eMedia's business has been built.
All right, guys, let's leave it there for this week. Thank you for your thoughts and insights. And we'll chat to you again next week to find out what's going on in the markets right here on Ghost Biz.